Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Shout aloud, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Revelation 3, 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." I sense for someone here that something is about a kickstart in your life. By the hand of God, that no force in heaven, on earth, or beneath will be able to undo. Can I give you a few seconds? I know you've been praying. Pray in the spirit right now. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Sakatala bakata. Shendala bakatong raskavahakta. Setekependa kaunkas kive. Rasons kavahakta. Sekataunkas kive hakta. Leko shetekepelia. Shetekepeleteka. Rasondegebaha. Le shandakaya. Shandakabaya. Asombrenda kaya. Esenda kaya. Asongres keve. Sete kepeleta. Sato kombres kava. Shande keva kaya. La songra ka. Le sende ka. La songra ka. Esenda kala. Le kombres kave. Sende kepelende. Rande le bahanga. Le shanda laba. The one who opens and no one can shut. The one who shuts and no one can open. The one who says yes and no one can say no. Kauska fahakta sapahakta seketeleba shandarabada randelebedegedea rasatatata letekaumbaha. For who is he that says a thing and it comes to pass? When the Lord has not ordained it, there is one sovereign over nations, over sickness, over disease, over life, over death. Hey, the one who opens and no one can shut, the one who shuts and no one can open. Senda kaubakaya lempras kavalande kepelendeke. In this camp meeting day, you will know that there is a God. God in heaven, sovereign over nations. Raubalangas kavalakta sapele kobaya. Shete kepelende kepeya. Prende kepele toko preska valak toko prende ke. Sende keperende kaupakai. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Psalm chapter 20, verse 7 and 8. I know you know verse 7, but very few people have the patience to read to verse 8. Verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember. This is why we have an annual tradition, no matter how busy we are, to come from around the world. Because this is our source. Are you listening to me? It says, but we will remember the name of our God. And then this is what it says in the next verse. Are you ready? Read it loud as you can. One, two, go. They have bowed down and are fallen. It says, but we are risen and stand upright. In case you don't know, this is what happened to Dagon. When you build on the glory of God, this is what happens. The opposition is bowed down and we stand upright. I sense there is a repositioning happening for people here. A repositioning happening in your life. A repositioning happening in the body of Christ. Whatever stood confronting your health, confronting your family, hey, they are bowed down and fallen, and we have risen and stand upright by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Listen, I'm not here to motivate you. This is the word of God. You will see it in your life. I'm telling you, some of you, as you leave this camp meeting, oh, you step into rooms and the doors open of their own accord. Oh, I want to give you some minutes, some seconds for this word to seep into your spirit. Hey, they are bowed down and fallen. Hey, but we are risen and stand upright by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hey, that's why he said, Thou, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head. The glory of God is bringing me upright. Hey, we are risen by the anointing of the Lord. Kai kom perikai. Lembras kava hakta. Levels are changing again. I said levels are changing again. Hey, we are risen and stand upright by the anointing of the Lord. Not by our trust in horses or chariots, but because we remember the name of the Lord. We are risen and stand upright. Hey! Thank you, Father. Glory to your name. Thank you, Father. Just take 10 seconds and worship him. Thank him. Kai. Thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we've prayed. All right, be seated. Are you tired or you're just getting started? Okay, I want to teach on raising an unstoppable prayer movement. Raising an unstoppable prayer movement. And I want to start with a bit of word study. And I know in this generation, word study is often used to refer to the study of the word. But I mean it literally, word study, like we're studying a word. One word that encapsulates all that I want to teach on this morning. And that word is the word Israel. Israel, Israel the nation, Israel. And you have to understand that that word is the conflation of two words, Sarah and El, Sarah and El. Sarah, S-A-R-A, it means to contend. It means to contend. It means to what? Come on, say it loud. It means to what? It means to wrestle. It means to what? And then it means to fight. It means to what? Sarah means to contend, to wrestle, to fight. And El means God. So together, Yisrael, you can add a Y, Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. Yisrael actually means he that struggles with God. He that strives with God. He that contends with God. And you see, this is an interesting metaphor. And some of us are not used to metaphors like this. We're used to metaphors on prayer being intimacy or communion. I want to introduce you to a new one, wrestling. Wrestling. You know, I've said it before. The first time I traveled out of the country and I was in church programs, I was very shocked. It taught me a lot about revival without listening to any sermon. Because reading about all those missionaries and all those people who taught us on prayer, we grew up on their materials, Charles Giffen, you know, and all of them, all those patriarchs. And I went to their nation and saw the way the people there were praying. And you know what's worse? The devil has deceived people that it is now a cultural differentiation, that there is a way white people pray.
as if some of the people I mentioned were out of my race. Some of them almost had an extreme emphasis on prayer. How can you pray until your heart shifts from left to right? And then I go there and everybody's like, oh Lord, we just want to thank you. You can say two lines and sip tea. Listen to me, it's not a cultural difference. The word of God is our culture. We saw the way Jesus prayed. He fell to the ground. His sweat was like droplets of blood. He cried out with a loud voice. If you reach your turn, stand in front of Lazarus' tomb and whisper. He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! So that's where I take my bearing from. It's not a denominational preference that because we are charismatics, we like to raise our voice. Jesus raised his voice. On the last day, the great day of the feast, he stood and cried. That's why we preach the way we do. Come on, are you listening to me? So we adjust our culture to the word of God. And make no mistake, there are a lot of things that the Western church gets right that we have to learn from as well. Why does a word study on Israel concern you? It concerns you because in the New Testament, you are called the Israel of God. You see, you have to understand that Israel was first a person before a nation. You know that, don't you? That there was a real man, a man named Jacob, and he encountered God. His name was turned to Israel. And afterwards, the generation that was born out of him became a nation that was now called Israel. So Israel was actually an appellation or a name that was slapped on an entire generation as a result of the encounter that one person had with God. That alone is a sermon. But let's move on. By that same logic and theological understanding, it should now strike you that the Bible says that when Jesus was born, Herod was after him. And so the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and said, take your son and go to Egypt until I bring you word, right? So he ran to Egypt, and this is what the Bible said. Oh my God, I think I'm just quoting it often. Now look at Matthew chapter 2 verse 15. Matthew chapter 2 verse 15. It says, and he was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophets, saying, out of Israel I have called my son. Now listen, he was quoting, I think, Hosea 11:1. And Hosea 11:1 was referring to the literal nation of Israel, because they were called out of Egypt. You know that, right? And he said the fact that Jesus went to Egypt for a time and came out of Egypt was also a fulfillment of this. Out of Israel, I have called my son. Jesus is the real Israel, the real son of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? And just the same way Jacob's name, who was later turned to Israel, gave birth to a nation that became Israel, the real Israel of God has made us Israel. Amen, somebody. This is important too. If you are familiar with prophetic language, it should stand out to you that Israel was born the way it was born. It tells you something about your identity. But I'm coming there. This is not just some theological gymnastics. Look at what Paul called you in Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. Galatians chapter 6, verse 16. He says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy upon them, and upon the what? Upon the who? He's talking about the church of Jesus Christ. And he calls you and I the Israel of God. Tell the person by the side, say, you are the Israel of God. In case a person is not paying attention, tell someone else, you are the Israel of God. And so what makes you the Israel of God? Number one, faith in Jesus. But number two, the willingness to press, to wrestle, to see the will of God manifest in your generation. That's what makes you Israel. Because the culture of Israel is the determination to hold on to God and say, we will not let you go. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Respond. You know, some people treat revival as if it is something like lightning that does not strike in the same place twice. And I know we talked about the sovereignty of God. A lot of people have taken those teachings to an extreme. And they just sit back, fold their arms, and expect God to move if he so pleases. That is not how it works. For lack of a better example, I've described the correlation between the sovereignty of God and the free will of man this way. If I am walking my dog, I have a cute dog. It's a Shih Tzu. It cannot protect anything. It's just fine. Very cute. And so when I'm walking this dog, and it happened for a brief moment yesterday, the dog in his excitement, because it's on a leash, thinks it has freedom. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And the dog can even forget that there is a leash and try to run. And every once in a while, you remind the dog, hey, I'm in control, and pull it back. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so when you see somebody walking a dog, two wheels are at play. My sovereign will and the free will of the dog. Within the confines of my own will, the dog has free will. Within the circumference that leash allows. And that's what you see. So it is not every move that God controls. The free will of man even confirms the sovereignty of God. Because God is sovereign, he knows our freedom cannot affect his ultimate plan. But within that ultimate plan, you are to determine what your outcome will be. You are to determine. So my dog can be on the leash and choose to sit by my side. But it's another dog on the leash can move. It just tells you that you have a role to play. It is true, God is in ultimate control. And that means his ultimate overarching plan for all nations, for all people, especially for his church, will not be overrun or overturned. But listen to me. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's. The earth has he given to the children of men. And you see, within that overarching will, we have a part to play. And we can either cooperate with God or hinder the Holy Spirit. This is very important. You must understand this. Jesus. For instance, God called Israel and he was their Lord, he was their king, he was their everything. But Israel looked at other nations and decided, we want a king too. And God allowed it. Are you listening to me? So I'm just letting you know that within the ultimate will of God, he allows freedom. You want that? Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. And we're particular about the branding. They wanted someone tall, so God chose Saul, right? He's tall, right? Taller than everyone. Okay? They wanted that. They looked about. How is it that God is in control of the world and many nations are suffering? It's because there's such a thing as democracy. Have you heard of democracy? The sovereign God respects his children's choices. The sovereign God has decided to intervene when you invite him. Come on, are you listening to me? To intervene. Is it every time your children are playing that you join them? Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Do you get that analogy? There are some things your children want to do in the house. You say, no, come down from the chair. If you are a parent, this thing I just said, you have said it like 15,000 times. Part of parenting is saving your children's lives. Toddlers are always trying to kill themselves. It's part of growing up. Just climb somewhere and jump and free fall. And so they are playing, but you are watching them. This is one of the things that you must understand. And the same thing happens in the realm of the spirits. God is sovereign, but you can choose to get serious. You can choose to get serious. The sovereign God has created rules that any generation that chooses to seek will find. That chooses to knock, the door will be opened. And so don't think that revival started and stopped when God just decided haphazardly, okay, you know what, let me sprinkle a little something. No. Check everywhere there was a revival. Two things coincided: the will of God, the willingness of God, and the determination of people. If you don't understand this, you don't understand prayer, you won't see a lot in your spiritual journey. You must learn to pray, so. You must learn to pray. And so let's go to the origin of the name Israel. You know the story? In Genesis chapter 32, that in the middle of the night, a man came. It's a very, very strange story. I've done more decent work on the theology of these in 100 days of discipleship. You can refer to this if you so please. But a man came in the night and wrestled with Jacob and held him. Jacob held him until daybreak. And the man said, I must go. And Jacob said, I will not let you go until you bless me. And so now, this is what the God man now responded. Verse 28. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh Jesus. Lord, help me articulate this. Help them understand this. Now, let me just make two quick points from that. Everyone who has a serious walk with God can point to certain milestones where things shifted. Certain milestones. You pressed and something opened up. Now, never forget, I think it was 2009. I was on a fast and reading a book by Derek Prince. And on the third day, something happened. I can't articulately explain what happened, but something happened. And when that thing that wants to happen happens, you know that it happened. Some of you know what I'm saying. And I closed the book, came out of the hostel. I saw some people praying in the field. So I went to pray with them. And when they were done praying, they said, let's hold our hands and pray. And then they asked me to pray. I looked up and sighed. I wasn't trying to preach a sermon. That was my first outing since the prayer started. And by the time I looked down, everyone was pinned to the ground under the glory of God. That was the first time I saw something like that. Pinned! The security man who was around was pinned to the ground too. And I'm wondering, so God, you were there waiting for the day I'll be serious. You were there watching me all my life long, waiting for the day I will pick a book or pick the Bible and read or set myself to seek his face. Are you listening to this at all? Jesus. Key encounters. Life-changing encounters. The reason I need to dwell on this is because some of you are used to playing church. Maybe you even came here without an expectation. But I'm letting you know that an encounter can happen that will shift the course of your life forever. Just like Samuel told Saul. He says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you'll be a new person. How is it that he still had the same height, the same shape of nose, the same clothes, but he was a new person altogether? Are you listening to this? In the place of prayer, your entire software can change. I'm telling you. You can leave this place to the same problems. And listen, that same problem will skip like a ram. What if God called you here so that you can come up higher? Are you listening to me? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16 that the Spirit of God came upon David from that day forward. Aye. You know, there are some encounters that are from that day forward. I'm not talking about goosebumps that will lift after 30 minutes. From that day forward. You just know, you see, I was reading, you know, the story of Papa Kumuyi. He was fasting and he caught the mystery of working miracles. You know what he did? When he rounded off the fast, he first went on holiday with his family because he knew that with what he had received, he would be busy the rest of his life. Do you know what it means to be so sure? Like, I've caught something. Let's go and chill. He first took his family to go and relax. With what? The demand on what I have received will be much. Let's first go. Let's keep it a secret what I've received. Let's first go and relax. Something tangible. For Jacob, it happened one night. The history of the nation Israel, a whole nation, can be tied to one night. You are not listening to what I'm saying. Do you know the same way a company can come out of you that can be tied to one night? A ministry can be born out of you that can be tied to one night. Children can be born to your family that can be tied to one night. I'm saying one night with God can change the course of your life forever. I'm here to try to raise a generation that can birth a revival. Not to try. I am here to raise. And the most important thing about that story is that all God did was show up and see if Jacob will be determined enough. I don't know why God does this all the time. But many times, God will make it subject to your readiness, to your discernment. You've heard it say, heard me say it many times. Think about it. Abraham was waiting for a child for about 2 decades. And when it was time, instead of the Lord to knock on his door, he acted like he was passing. So Abraham had to be discerning enough to say, hey, can you please come in? Let me give you some food. See, are you getting what I'm saying? So I'm letting you know there is a pattern in the Bible where the sovereign God wants you to choose. It's your turn, but I want you to be ready. It is part of growing up. It is part of teaching a toddler to walk. I won't just throw it at you. Come and get it. Listen to me. When you were teaching your child to walk, did it ever happen? You put a toy somewhere and say, come, come, come. This is what prayer meetings like this is. God is saying there is a higher level. Come, son. It will take determination and consistency. Come! Come and get it! The nations are ready. Come and get it! He said, ask of me and I will give you the nations as an inheritance. Come and get it! Don't wait for it to drop on your laps. So it means God will many times make it up to your readiness. In fact, it was as if the angel was even whining him. The angel said, leave me alone. Someone else will say, okay. Because you are too respectful to see a change in your life. Too cool, too calm, too collected. He said, no, I won't let you go. Are you listening to me? If you did otherwise, it's only in heaven you would have known what he missed. I won't let you go. Listen, there is such a thing as being angry enough. You're not angry enough. You are not determined enough. You're not angry enough. I won't let you go until, meaning I'm not praying so that I can say I prayed 1 hour. I judge the success of the prayer by the result. Until you bless me, not until daybreak, so I can tweet about it or talk about it and post it or set my ring light and camera and so that people can watch me speaking in tongues. So until he said, you shall seek me and find me after you have sought for me with the whole of your heart. Listen, I'm letting you know the mystery of Israel. That one of the ways that God trains us is by hiding himself deliberately to see how determined we are. You are going to have to press for it. You shall seek me and find me after. There's a requirement. After you have sought for me with the whole of your heart. Think about this. Are you ready for this? And this is where the consistency is between sovereignty and free will. If God didn't appear, where will Jacob see God to wrestle? Where will he see God to wrestle? So the real question is, why did God come? God came on purpose to see if you'll be ready to fight. Are you listening to me? Maybe that's this meeting for you. Because here, you'll be seeing life change, you know. When my life was changing, when I was receiving a real mandate from heaven, some laughed at me, some mocked me, some called me names, because I promise you, in a meeting like this, you will know I'm ready. There has never been a meeting like this. And I was moping around. You will know I am ready. You know all those people that you would likely say, is it only you? Because when it's time to pray, I will pray. And my voice will be loud. And I see where God has taken us. Hey, if you do what they did, you will see what they saw. I'll pray till I know, then I'm done. Mountains will be plain when I'm done. I'll keep pressing into you. I'll keep pressing into you. I'll pray till I know that I've won. Mountains will be plain when I'm done. I'll keep pressing into you. Come on, sing it if you know it. Say, I'll keep. Hey. I'll pray till I know. Hey, pressing into you, I'll be. Pray till I know mountains. Yeah, I'll keep pressing into you. One more time. I'll pray till I know. Pressing into you. Come on, say, press it into Jesus. Say, press it into it. Come on. Let this be released. Come on, say. Press it into it. Press it into Jesus. I'll pray till I know that I've won. Press it into you, I'll be. I'll pray till I know. You know, I was studying about revival, and I was reading what someone said about a revival. He said he has noticed a pattern. He said, anywhere there is no revival, it is because people are not angry enough. That there is a consistency everywhere there was revival. The people were passionate enough. determined enough, angry enough, that there must be a consuming love and passion for revival fire to fall. There must be a consuming love and passion. Angry enough. Are you getting what I'm saying? Must be angry enough. So listen to me. On the strength of the word of God, we can decide though to shift this generation. We can decide. That's our commitment. Something new, something fresh will be born from this house. I said something new, something fresh. Listen, do you know the day you decide to be serious, heaven will notice. Something new and something fresh. A greater measure. It's been a little here, a little there. At the ankle level, to the knee level. Now it is about to engulf you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Come on, are you listening to me? Something that your world will notice. You don't have to put it on your status. They look at you and say, he has been with God. He has been with God. He has been with God. I said, he has been with God. I said, he has been with God. Any people that listen, did he not say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. And see, I'm telling you, the sovereign God is waiting. You want to see him move in your family? Gather all your siblings and say, we will press. This is a culture you must imbibe. Come on, are you listening to me? You know, and after a while, the devil begins to mark people. There are some people the devil only tries if he knows he's ready. Not everybody knows how to stay on a matter. I want to ask you an honest question. Have you ever stayed on any matter for 21 days? You learned something about consistency in the Garden of Gethsemane, that he prayed for a while, took a break, came and continued where he stopped. I said, have you ever stayed on any matter for 21 days? What is the longest you have stayed on any matter? You know, there are some people, if they say they are praying for you, it's a lie. But there are some people, there is such a thing as spiritual stubbornness. I'm saying this is how Israel is born. Stubbornness. Are you getting what I'm saying? God, this is your will for my life. I won't embrace anything less. This situation must change. I won't continue like this. You know, this parable of Esau and Jacob, it happens everywhere in the world. It's the reality of many people. Jacob had the inheritance. But it looked like before that night where he encountered God, there was no difference between Esau and Jacob. In fact, Esau appeared to be more prosperous. Because Esau did not have the inheritance, but he had something. What did his father tell him? He said, yeah, all these limitations will be a reality in your life. But you see, when you get tired, you can break this thing. So I've seen people with less gifts, less opportunities, but great determinations. I'm telling you, when Jacob meets Esau, it is possible for you not to tell who is blessed. Because I've noticed a pattern in life and in the spirit. The real winners are the determined people. Are you listening to me? And the yoke shall be destroyed when you have been made fat. There's a way you keep expanding your capacity and the shackles can't stay. You can outgrow chains. You can outgrow situations. Just shift to a new level. Shift to a new level. And so for a change, Jacob decided to do what Esau had been doing all his life. Maybe the reason why Esau decided to fight for his destiny is because he knew he had no other option. But that's the problem. Some of you, you don't have options and you're still not fighting. Some of your friends have a solid surname that can open doors for them. Some of your friends are coming from four generations of preachers. Their father was a preacher. Their father's father was a preacher. Before he got to them, they have destroyed all the devils. You? You are too relaxed, though. You are too relaxed. You must learn to walk. Can I tell you the real reason God is making me teach this sermon? Are you ready to know the reason? It's because I'm afraid. Our fathers are going, and we are not ready. We know how to teach good sermons, but we are not passionate enough. We are not angry enough. You know, I was watching a testimony about Apostle Madugba. The Lord told him, buy a ticket and go to Australia. So he said, Australia, I don't know anybody there. So he went to Australia. And there in Australia, he discovered rain had not fallen for years or something like that. And God said, open the windows of heaven over this nation. So he prayed one prayer. By the time he went to the hotel room, it rained for hours. And he entered his flight and went back. When he went back, the prime minister called him back. And when the prime minister called him, he said, I have to ask God. I can't go without backing. He only backs me if I ask. So wait. He prayed. God said, go. So he went. And then he told the prime minister, listen, even in your constitution, you said this is a Christian nation. You have turned your back on God. Surrender this nation back to God. He and people in his parliament with tears dedicated this nation to God. They even said, anybody who is coming to this nation must respect this is a Christian nation. Keep your own values to yourself. Can I say something? You won't be offended, Abby. Yes, sir. If we are not careful, prophets in our generation will be reduced to, what's your name? What's your middle name? Do I know you before? Look at what is happening in this nation. Where are the Israel? Where is the Israel of God? Where are the Elijahs of God? I like that response. We are here, right?
Yes, sir.
We're about to fill big shoes, though. Big shoes. And we will be ready.
Yeah.
We will be ready. There was a generation that could not be easily harassed. Baba Umar Opai was preaching at a crusade. They sent policemen to stop the crusade. He asked all of them to sleep under the anointing, and all of them fell and were pinned to the ground till the meeting ended. It's not every generation that could be harassed. So what I'm saying is, we know Greek, we know Hebrew, we know how to hold events. God wants to teach us to fight. Are you listening to me? And now, it seems like a contradiction. What do you mean, Jacob, a man wrestled with God and prevailed? And that just tells you that there's something there. Can you really wrestle with an angel? One angel in the Bible killed 185,000 people in one night. So what kind of wrestling is that? I will tell you. There is no way to teach a person to fight without fighting the person. When you want to teach someone to fight as a coach, have you ever seen them coaching someone with a fight with textbook? You stand in front of the person and listen, you punch the person and ask the person to weave it. That's how you train people. Listen, so what God does sometimes is this. He will deliberately bring problems your way. Deliberately. Deliberately. You know, and I've checked it. It's a pattern. Go and watch everybody who was great. They always had one big problem they had to surmount. This Apostle Madhuba I talked about, there was a witch in his family. This one is not, I sense there's a witch. When they kill the first person, kill the second person, kill the third person, everybody knows who is doing it. So he had to go into a fast for 40 days. You see, when you come out of challenges like that, you will never be the same again. So deliberately, I'm explaining why some of you, even before, you will pray a simple prayer and the situation will change. Now you're wondering, there's a problem. I've prayed once. Pray twice, it's not going. God wants to train you. Are you listening to me? I'm explaining why. So that it will get to a threshold where you become angry. Finally become angry. It is that anger God is looking for. When you get angry once, your life will change. Once you see what anger can produce, and you say, I will not let you go until. That's what God is looking for. Until. A generation that can sit, you know, my biological parents are here, both here. You know, and I've told this story many times. My mom was taken down with a particular ailment that was so terrible, affecting all her joints. It first started, I think, on her wrist. She tied the wrist. It started, moved to the other wrist. She tied, now she's tying hankies on two wrists. It moved to her knee. She tied the first knee, tied the second knee, until she was on the bed, almost bedridden. And you know, we were responding the way you respond generally. You know, Christianese, it is well. God will do it. It is until one night, this man got angry. And he called all of us to the room with my mom crying on the bed. And he pointed. He said, this woman must be healed today. I grew up in that house all my life. I'd never seen him like that. It's called anger. That was the last night till date. What I'm telling you happened 2006. I said, that was the last night till date. God wants a generation that knows how to fight. When the Bible says, he teaches our fingers to fight and our hands to make war. This is what I'm saying. That when God sees Jacob, you are anointed, but you are lazy. He will come and fight you. Are you listening to me? So that you will get angry for once. You know, a lot of nonsense can be happening. Even the anointed Paul can be passing by. A woman with a familiar spirit is just deceiving everybody and he doesn't talk. Then one day, he was vexed in his spirit. The same man of God, same man too. He had been passing every day until he got angry. Do you know what that tells me? It means there are some demons that will still hold sway around your life until you get angry. You must vex today. Oh. I said you must vex today.
Yes, sir.
Be seated for a bit. Be seated for a bit. Hosea talked about what happened with Jacob in Hosea chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. This is what he said. Hosea 12, verses 3 and 4. He's talking about Jacob. He says he took his brother by the heel in the womb. And in his strength, also he struggled with God. All right, look at verse 4. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. And he tells you how he prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him and found him in Bethel. And there he spoke to us. So don't think it was an outright, it was physical. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? But don't think the angel was full strength. It can't happen now. So it means the angel just wanted to teach something. Have you ever had a mock fight with a toddler before? And the toddler is swinging full strength. And you're just pushing. You can even pretend to cry. I'm saying God can do that. To teach a generation to press. We will learn it all. Come on, are you listening to me?
Yes,
we will learn it. Let me tell you something. If you don't know how to pray long, you may be in trouble. You don't see it yet. Because there is no real challenge that has come yet. But I beg you in the name of Jesus. Just learn it. You will need it one day. May it not happen to you that challenge comes, and you now discover, I don't really know God. Like when you're finally angry, there is no scripture that comes out of you. If we press you, no scripture comes out. You have not been prepared. Start learning to fight. Don't wait till sickness comes to learn about the healing power of God. Don't wait till your life is in danger to learn about protection. Start learning those things. Start learning those things. Start learning those things. Prepare.
You know, I was reading about Michael Jordan. I think he had a bit of psychopathy. You cannot be that determined with normal eyes. It's not possible. He was always competitive, including during training. And so someone asked him, how are you this determined all the time? He said sometimes they mix up scenarios just to be angry. He would just convince himself that this person is looking down on him. It didn't happen, no. He would convince him, this person called me a fool. So he will now be angry and play to win. Extreme example. All I'm saying is this. I know right now your life is good. Yeah? But you are permitted to be angry at the devil for no reason. If you are not angry now, make it up. Think of something. And there are legitimate reasons to be angry. Look at what he's doing to other people and be angry. You know, I've discovered for many people, this is how real anointings are forged. It is intercessors that God usually anoints that are angry at things that don't concern them. Angry at what the devil did to your neighbor that doesn't greet you, but you're just angry on his behalf. Are you listening to me? I say we go vex today. I'll just give you four things that we can do. How can we be a generation that can move things in the place of prayer? That if you were the one that Daniel came to and said, they said they will kill me if I don't know the king's dream. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? Can you solve real problems in the place of prayer? Real problems. Real problems. You know, one of us here was telling me something. True life story. Are you ready for what I'm about to say? He and his prayer partner, they were praying. First day. And his prayer partner said, I see someone. Someone hates you. And is trying to plan something against you. So they just, that's normal. I'm a child of God. People who hate me. Day two. I'm seeing something. Someone went to a herbalist because of you. Well, what am I supposed to do with that? Went on. And then, I think by the fourth day, I'm seeing something in your car. In your car. It got to a point. He said, let's go and check your car. This guy had gotten a new driver, had been driving him around. Now, he went to the car, checked under, and brought out a calabash. I have the picture on my phone. When he saw it, he snapped it and sent it to me. God forbid now, if an accident happened, he lost his life. We have Christianese gone too soon. Heaven gained an angel. Abi? You don't go vex, ke? I'm saying something that happened last year. I'm not talking about, this is not some fairy tale. This is not something someone told me. He's one of my sons in this church. He's in this building now. I don't just have his permission to call him out. You know, he's in this building now. Guess what? He didn't have to sack the driver. The driver just never showed up again. Uh-huh. Don't allow them build altars over your head. Oh.
So the first thing that we must master, number one, we must learn to be in one accord. Hey, my God. I can't tell you how important this spiritual principle is. Many times in the Bible, you see, when the Bible says, be of one mind and speak the same thing, it is because unity is very important. You know, I've told you many times that in the last days of anybody's life, they say the things that matter the most to them and do the things that matter the most to them. This is when they gather their children together and tell them, okay, I have a house in this place, I have some treasures in this place, and all of that. And of all the things that Jesus could do in the last days of his ministry, he prayed and said, Lord, that they will be one. He prayed that we'll be one because being one is important. Let me tell you something. I've seen it many times. We can be together and not be one. We can be in the same place and not be one. There is something called one accord. See, when we gather together with one determination, one. It is good that you learn to be angry. It is even better, you and all your friends, where everybody vex. And say, you know what? Enough is enough. This thing must change now. Did you hear the testimony yesterday? She was already scheduled for an operation. So one of our pastors said, you know what? Let pastor just pray for you. It doesn't hurt. I won't tell you what I saw when I prayed for her. And it was just there. Laid hands on her. She fell on the ground. There were some manifestations. And I said, so it's not normal. And she said she woke up the next day, no pain. She did a final scan. It's no longer there. Don't let the devil get away with things in your life. Don't let the devil get away with things in your life. I told you, it was in a camp meeting like this. A demon began to manifest. Was angry at me. Said, why are you disturbing me? The parents struck a deal. I gave them money and they gave me her. Reboot camp like this. So was angry. You're disturbing this contract. I said, I'm sorry, I was not there. The one who sent me said, you shall cast out devils. You have to go. And the demon in despair said, it's not fair. Because of you, she will have children. Because of you. I know that there are some challenges that are normal because life is falling. But I'm saying if you are not discerning, the devil will get away with a lot in your life. Am I wasting your time? You know the song Prince Emmanuel did, Butter Joy? In case you don't know the origin of that song, it happened, I was preaching in London, and I was telling them the same thing. I said, some sicknesses are not normal. Some of them, 9 out of 10 times, when I hear the case, I don't even need discernment. I know it's the devil. The same spirit that hates children in the Bible that will influence Herod to just wipe out a whole generation of children 2 years and under, the same spirit that was in Pharaoh, that was in Herod, is manifesting in different ways. So, listen to me. Most reproductive related issues are caused by demons. I didn't say all. I can move on. I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. And I'm not trying to put anybody under pressure. Come on, are you listening to me? Because sometimes you preach these things in an insensitive way. But I'm just saying, you see, as I was saying it, a lady who had battled with hormonal imbalance since she was 15, a demon started manifesting. She has been a Christian all her life. The demon started manifesting, and you know, I waited for a while. Oh yeah, leave now. And the demon did not leave. So I don't know why sometimes in the height of spiritual anger, I speak Yoruba. I don't know why. I blame my mom. She's Yoruba. I said, Potacho! that was it. That was it.
I'm going to do that today. Everything that is not of God in my life, oh. I don't even care where you came from. I come in the name of Jesus. You must do. Oh, you don't want to use the door? You may use the window. Sickness. Barrenness. I'm rounding off. One accord. See, let me tell you something. And can I make a prescription? Even I, in a new dimension, I'm going to do this in my family. Start training your company to be in one accord. Your family, your friends, start rehearsing. Because the day will come where Daniel will have to call his company impromptu. I'm just coming from the palace. This is what they said, though. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? So start, you know, there is such a thing as a prayer bond. There are some people you've prayed with so long, there's a bond. There's a bond. Who have you bonded with in prayer? Start selecting your spiritual company. Somebody that when they hear a groan, they know what you're trying to achieve. Just by that sound. Are you listening to me at all? One accord. The next thing you must learn is perseverance in prayer. The first time I thought about this, I think 2014. You know what perseverance is? It means to press in spite of difficulty. There is such a thing as perseverance in prayer. You may be a person who knows how to pray or pray from time to time, but you are used to stopping when you feel tired. I'm telling you, before the evil day comes, just learn to persevere, to press. I've seen people, when there was trouble, that's when they discovered they never really learned how to press. Now I need to stay awake, but I never built the discipline. I need to stay for 4 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, 10 hours. I never built the discipline to pray for Peter until he's out of prison and knocks on your door. Tenacity. So I'm saying there's no problem in your life. Just determine on Tuesday, I'm going 7 hours. Just start rehearsing. May Satan, they see you, they build muscle. Have you ever seen someone, Jimmy, and wondering, what is he training for? You see, let the devil be thinking, what's going on? Let him call all his demons. Did any of you offend him? What's going on? Vex in advance. Understand this. When Jesus came and saw Peter sleeping, he said, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? The issue was not that Peter did not pray. It was that he had not prayed enough. There is such a thing as not praying enough. Why should duration matter? When Jesus said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? It means that for whatever it is Peter needed to pray, 50 minutes was not enough. I'm telling you, there is such a thing as not praying enough. And so you must learn to press. I will refer you to a teaching I did on hypertrophy in prayer. Do you remember? Oh, geez, in this place. And hypertrophy is a phenomenon in exercise, in the world of exercise and building muscles. The reason why some people exercise a lot and never build muscle, depending on your goal, some people is cardio that is their goal, all right? Increasing cardiovascular strength. But if your plan is to improve muscle mass, you must eat a lot, you must rest a lot, and the kind of exercise you must do, you must exercise to a point where your vessels, muscles actually die. Some vessels die, I've forgotten what they're called, die and build back stronger.
Every time you see someone develop muscles, something died and grew again. That is the science. But you know, for some people, the reason why they don't build muscle is, you know, they just carry the smallest, cutest dumbbells. And there are many fancy ones, color pink, color blue, these days. And you just do it twice for the gram. You set your cap. Have you seen people who are in the gym for Instagram? Set your gram, and they're like this. As soon as the video is off, you turn it off. Just standing in front of the mirror, doing like this. Looking at your sneakers. Some of you, that's what you're doing in the place of prayer. So there is such a thing as praying through. You know what I'm saying, right? Some of you have experienced it before. Days ago, my prayer partner and I were praying, and something opened. I can't explain it more than that. Some of you know what I'm saying now. Something opened. We noticed it together. And when it opened, the prayer became a seal. Approaching 5 hours, and it looked like 30 minutes. You know, sometimes you have to press, but sometimes something opens up. Listen to me. It won't always be a sale. Sometimes it will be very hard. And can I tell you something? Look for the times where you don't feel like praying and pray. That is the best way to build a prayer life. The very times where it looks like the heaven is shut, like it's closed with iron, like with padlock, that is the time to pray. Because like I've said many times, if you only pray when you feel like praying, you don't have a prayer life. So you build muscle at the tough times with consistency. You insist on it. Say a loud amen. Amen. What is number one? What is number two? And number three, see, listen. Number three is the discipline of spiritual emotions. The discipline of spirit. See, I want to beg you. Start disciplining yourself not to show apathy when you are praying. Don't pray like you don't care, like nothing is at stake. You're seeing everybody shouting, taking a prayer posture, and you're just like, excuse. Maybe you are even insulting us in your mind, like, why so extra? If you are convinced you are more spiritual than us, at least you are not more spiritual than Jesus. When Jesus cried, fell to the ground, his sweat was like droplets of blood. Eh? Hebrew described his prayer pattern, and he said, with vehement cries. Come on, you are too sophisticated. Come on, are you getting what I'm saying? And I can tell you one thing for sure. This is something you can do deliberately. When you're about to pray, just put your emotions in it. I have discovered any prayer time that does not change you, that is not serious enough to change your emotion, change your mood, may never change your life. Start practicing, putting your emotions. When was the last time you cried? When was the last time you knelt? When was the last time you rolled on the floor? I know there are some people who do these things for sure. You do it right. You do it with the right heart. Rehearse it. Come on, are you listening to me? And when it comes to developing spiritual emotions, it's not so much what you do, it's also what you don't do. Can I tell you something? The more addicted you are to social media, the less spiritual emotions you will have. Anybody who is addicted to social media cannot be angry enough about anything. Because what social media is showing you is teaching you is, you can be scrolling and see 7 people died. And you say, and scroll. And there's this comedy skit after. So what is training you to do is to move on quickly. So because of social media, you can't stay on one emotion. This simple thing I'm saying is reducing your anointing. If you don't know how to be angry for long, You can't change your generation. If you can't stay with an emotion, stay with it. So anything that hinders that staying power is after your life. It's after your life. I'm telling you the truth. It's after your life. You see the madness that is happening now, that maybe we're hearing people are being killed by bandits, then people are doing skits. This generation is in trouble. You know, if you talk about it, they say, why so serious? It's not that deep. You see the problem? We're a generation that likes to cruise. We're not angry enough. Have you noticed serious matters breeze past? It breezes past. Even the same issue. Just weeks ago, everybody was shouting. Now, the temperature has calmed down. So now I'm asking, that's why I'm telling you, to build this discipline, deliberately, start setting a time. Say, you know what? I'm going on this matter for 7 days. Pray about the same thing. Listen, can I give you that assignment? Pick something, anything, and determine to pray about it for 12 days. Put a time. And set a time every day. That was what I was trying to teach you the last time when I said 100 days. Do you know there are many Christians who have not gone 100 days without breaking a day of prayer in their life? Ask yourself honestly, have you gone 3 months ever in your life and there was not a single day that you did not pray? These are some of the disciplines who when the Lord was training me, I can't remember what happened in 2010 or something. I was very busy. There was a commitment, consecration commitment I didn't fulfill. And the Lord said to me that morning, he said, too much is at stake. Too much is at stake. People are skipping prayer time. You too, you are skipping. Too much is at stake. I didn't know that this is the magnitude of what God will be doing through me. Thank God I listened. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, too much is at stake. Can you help me tell the person? I said, too much is at stake. Tell yourself, say, too much is at stake. Emmanuel Ire, too much is at stake. Too much. Too much. Can I tell you something? Parents in the house, one day, your children will need your prayer life. Your prayer life might be the difference between life and death. Before you call pastor, are you listening to me? I think it really, really helped me because I grew up in a house that knew how to fight. We fought regularly, maybe even too much, Seth. My dad did a little too much. We just carried that MFM booklet and we'll finish it in one day. I thought it was child abuse, but I'm here now. If you reach your turn, train your children in a different way. By the age of 12, we were praying 12 hours. He's here asking. You put Telemundo for your children. Hallelujah. What is number one? What is number two? What is number three? Now, time is fast spent, so we'll pick this. What we have learned, we have to practice it. So I'm just going to leave you with an assignment. Number one, what are you angry about? Let's decide what to be angry about. So, what are you angry about? Pick something, think about it, and be annoyed. Pick something in your family, and then something in this nation.
this nation. Let me teach you how to be annoyed. You know it in the flesh. You have not just used it in the spirit. Has it ever happened that someone said something? It didn't really annoy you as much. But when you sat down, and you thought about it, you were now getting more annoyed. It was rising. There is a role meditation plays in anger. So you have to think about all the scenarios. He called me a fool. That means my parents did not do a good job. That means he's saying that my CV is rubbish. That means, you know, that means expand it. I'm not joking. No, I expect to see you writing. What are you angry about? Now, so this anger is for things that are going wrong. Okay, what should be going right that is not happening? Write down one too. Where ought I to be? What has God said that I'm not seeing? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's number one. Okay, you've written that. Now, when will be the new prayer time for your family? Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. This one will take discipline. You know, for people like me, I actually don't like praying with people. I don't. I have a lot of reasons why. And I have a lot of biblical excuses. If you check very carefully, Jesus never prayed with anybody. I can't defend anything with the Bible. So for now, I keep it very few people that I pray with. You know? But that discipline of praying with your family is important. Okay? Rehearse the anger with them. Rehearse it in advance. Teach them to fight, oh. Don't just give them a good education. Teach them to fight. Teach them to fight. And then next, I want you to create a devotional target. If you don't really have a prayer life, I permit you to start with 21 days. For 21 days without fail. It's better to finish the 21 days and start afresh than to lie to yourself and say, 150 days, you? No, please. Don't lie to yourself. 21 days. For some of you, you are so terrible, you need to start with 14. 14 days, without fail. Thank you, Jesus. Whew. Thank you, Father. Listen, for those of you who stay in Lagos, we have our own place now. We will pray. We will pray. So for those of you whose work schedule is flexible, please be ready. At a moment's notice, I might call you and say, we're praying this Saturday. And then we'll just pray and nobody's going to drive us away. It's just... Just pray. It will start sooner than you realize. I might call you next week. So just get ready. Thank you, Father. I sense something new. A new breeze blowing in this generation. Something fresh and powerful by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. We're calling it a day now. Listen to me. Listen. The good news about camp meetings is I don't have to finish all I want to say in one session. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to stop now. All the things you have written, I want to give you time to meditate on it. I'm going to call Minister Paul Thomason to come up. Listen. So as he ministers, think about all these things and let it stir up the emotions that you need. Hallelujah. Come on, are you listening? All right. Say in the name of Jesus. Come on, say it loud. In the name of Jesus. All that God has destined for me to be, I will be. Say, in this meeting, my name is changed. My reputation is changed. The hand of God has rested upon me. Say, it will be said of me that from this day forward, the hand of the Lord rested upon me. Say, God has taught my hands to fight and my fingers to war. Say, mountains are made plain. Say, the valleys are made plain by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Say, by my God, I run over a troop. I leap over a wall. I do the impossible. In the name of Jesus, no enchantment against Jacob. No divination against Israel. Mention a name. Say, no divination against Emmanuel Iren. No divination against the Iren. Say, the hand of the Lord is against they that trouble me. By the hand of the Lord, I walk many miracles. I see the victories of God. In the name of Jesus, pray in the Spirit for 1 minute. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.